Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. The title of my message this morning is Exponential. 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 And really, when I think of exponential, that's what I would honestly say is the God word for your life. If you came to church saying, man, I hope I get a prophetic word over my life, it's exponential. If you're the Ruski Medved and you need a word, it's exponential. I see it over you. I see it over your beautiful wife, over your beautiful family, over your business. Mr. and Mrs. Punker, I'm telling you, exponential, 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 exponential. Exponential. God is bigger, God is greater, God is stronger, God hasn't finished. Your best days weren't yesterday or last week or last year. Best days are still ahead. Best days are still ahead. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit, but today I really felt it's the beginning of Vision Builders Month, and there was 101 directions I could go in, but I felt very, very strongly and from the Holy Spirit that I needed to preach on Him. I needed to preach on the anointing. So today I want to talk to you about the anointing, about the power of God, because He is what makes you and I exponential. I can't achieve exponential by myself. I can pay to go to a Tony Robbins seminar and unleash the giant within. I can walk on hot coals. I can do the hot cold walk. I can do all that kind of stuff. I can motivate myself. I can understand the power of vision. I can understand all of those things. But at the end of the day, I will just be the best representative of me. That's it. I will be the best me. I will do the best job that I did in my strength with my skill sets, with my ability. Can I just tell you that God has got something far greater than a motivational seminar where you walk on hot coals? God has a thing called the church. He has the church, and the church is meant to be a place of power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power." Everyone say power. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Now, it's interesting because if you read Acts 1, verse 8, you'll understand it's in the context of in Acts 1, 6, the disciples said to the disciples, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, like, is this when everything's going to be restored back to Israel? Like, is this the end times? And I love what Jesus said. He said, "Hey, listen, it's actually not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has set in His own authority." It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has set in His own authority. It's amazing. Every time I watch Christian TV, there's a little bit of a puke factor that comes upon me because I'm watching Christian TV and I'm like, they've forsaken Acts 1 verse 8 to move into Acts 1 verse 6. And they're selling, you know, buy your tribulation package. They're selling tribulation packages with UHT, ultra heat sensitive milk, you know, and get your powder, you know, get your can and get your baked goods. And these things will last 227 years. You can't eat it, but it'll last that long. And you can send in your offering for $49.95 or more, and we'll send you the tribulation pack. So when the Antichrist comes, because right now the Antichrist, and if you look at the world, there are wars and rumors of wars. The Antichrist is coming. You better get your tribulation pack out, people, right now. Waiting on the phone lines, you just call in, we're gonna send it to you, right? And Jesus says you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. In other words, see to it that you're not tricked in sending money to get your tribulation back, right? And see to it that you're not alarmed, for these things must happen, but the end is still yet to come. And Jesus says it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has set in His own authority, but it is for you to receive power. It is for you to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because let me just tell you this, The only sign that Jesus gave us, the one predictor of the end times, is not Jerusalem surrounded. It is not the rise of the Antichrist, even though those are symptomatic of the end times that we know that we're living in. It's not nation rising against nation, even though that is a symptom. It is not the persecution and the vilification of the righteous and the church, even though that will happen. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world as a testimony, then the end will come. Then the end will not come because of antichrists and, you know, what's happening in Rome with the papacy and, you know, all the other bits and pieces. The end will come when the gospel is preached to the whole world. So some Christians I hear say, well, we've done that. We started in Jerusalem. We've gone right around the world. Yeah, problem is we didn't do it all in one generation. So now some of the places we reached 100 years ago and now completely without any representation, without any light, without any gospel present at all in those places. Jesus is talking about a global phenomenon. Come on, how many people know that earth is not our home? Heaven is our home. But right here, as we're passing through, we're called to occupy. We're called to occupy. That's why we're going to occupy buildings. Is it about the buildings? No, the building is just a place that we occupy, where we know that we have a building. We don't have to ask for permission. No one can kick us out. It is our building. It is our building. If we want to do 7 nights of meetings, we can do 7 nights of meetings. If we want to have services all day on Sunday, we can have services all day on Sunday. If we want to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, we can do it because we have a building. We have a building that is a discipleship house, that is an empowering house, that is an equipping house. We have a building. So that's why we do all of that. But our job is to occupy. Our job is to go into all the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. But you will find the places that have moved away from power will try and move into figuring out the times and the seasons. Does that make sense? So, you know, a lot of people say, do you guys do end time teaching there? And we've been in the end times for the last 2,000 years. If you read the book of Acts, you'll understand that they thought that Jesus' second coming was imminent, and it was. 2 Peter 3 says that we can actually hasten or speed up the second coming. Did you know that? That the second coming isn't so much there's a date that's already been said, although God knows it. The second coming is actually when the church finally gets its act together, finally disconnects from trying to know the times and season, and actually puts herself in a place where she receives power and then goes out and evangelizes the world, preaches the gospel to the world so that the end will come. That's when the end will come. That's how we speed up. That's how we hasten the Lord's coming. Jesus is not coming back while there are yet people to hear the gospel, while there are yet people to be set free from darkness. He will not split the cloud. But once the gospel is being preached to the whole world and people have got a clear and powerful presentation of the gospel, and Jesus looks and every last person who's going to respond has responded, then he's going to split the sky and he's going to come back and then we're going up. Somebody say amen. Which is an awesome thing. So that's why we need to do what we're doing. We need to keep taking ground. How many people here have ever read where it says it's more blessed to give than to receive? How many people read that? How many people, when you read that, thought, yeah, I don't think so. I like receiving. Christmas is all about gifts. Like my little kids, you know, they love Christmas. And, you know, no, when Zoe has finished unwrapping her last Christmas present, for the last 6 years, since her speaking ability has been in there, for the last 6 years, once she's opened her last present, realizes there's no more presents, her next question to me is, Daddy, how many sleeps till my birthday? In other words, how many sleeps till I next receive gifts? And so you tell a kid it's more blessed to give than to receive, they don't believe you. Immaturity only sees the reception. But the reason it's more blessed and the reason you're going to hear about giving this month is because when you receive, the reason it's more blessed, the reason it wasn't Jesus using hyperbole or just, I was just exaggerating, I was just trying to pump up giving, you know, it's true, it's more, you know, it's better to receive, I love receiving gifts. No, when Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, you need to understand that it's impossible for him to lie because he's God. So if he's saying that, there must be something you and I don't see. And so what is it that we don't see? It's very simple. Once you receive, the circuit is complete. The loop is closed. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Once you've received, it's the end of that circuit. It's the end of that cycle. Whereas every time you give, you have now opened a new cycle. You've now opened a new circuit. Because give and it will be given to you. So as soon as you give, you are setting things in motion again. So Abraham gives to God, and then God gives him the breakthrough. The breakthrough comes to Abraham in the form of a son. So now he has a son called Isaac. But God's word over Abraham was that he would have more descendants than the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. So God says to Abraham, you've received Isaac. Now I want you to take what you've received, circuit closed, and I want you to go up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering on an altar on a mountain of which I shall tell you. In other words, I want you to now to open a new circuit and a new cycle by giving. So Abraham takes what he had received, end of one cycle, and he takes him up onto the mountain, carrying the wood on his back. The altar is prepared. The knife comes out because Abraham is about to give to God. And then God says, stop. And there's a ram caught in the thicket. He says, I'll still receive, but not your boy. But because you are willing to give your boy, give the ram in its place. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply. And in your seed, Isaac, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham had received one son, but God's promise over Abraham was multiple sons. And so he had to give. Does that make sense? So every time you give, you set in place a new motion. So that's why every year we do Vision Builder. So I fulfilled, like Drew, this month, fulfilled last year's pledge and commitment. But glad that's done with over. No. This year, I'm going to be pledging again. I'm going to be giving again. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I can't even begin to tell you, as you step out again and as you launch again, there's a brand new opening. There's a brand new loop. There's a brand new cycle. There's a brand new circuit. There's a brand new flow of the miraculous that comes into your world as you step out and give again. Does that make sense? I'll teach you a little more this month. But today I want to talk to you about the anointing. Come with me to Exodus, and I apologize, media team. I didn't give you Exodus chapter 31. If you can't find it, don't worry. I'll just read it out, and you'll have to trust that I'm reading the truth. But in Exodus chapter 31, it's quite interesting because how many people know what the anointing is? The anointing is the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, they used to anoint kings and they used to anoint priests. But if you really study, that's what I learned in Bible college, they anointed kings and they anointed priests. But if you actually read in your Bibles, you'll find that they did not limit the anointing to just kings and priests. Did you know that? The anointing is not just for pastors. Colin Higginbottom, him and his wife, Melissa, look after our Pathfinders ministry, our Pathfinders, our Marketplace ministry. And Colin, as a young man, really wanted to serve God. He felt that he was called to the Marketplace, but he said every prophecy, every time there was a prophetic moment in church, there was only two options that the church gave people. You could either be a pastor or you could be a missionary. If you wanted to serve God, you could be a pastor or you could be a missionary. That was it. That were the only two options. It was like God only had two options. To reach the world, you're either a pastor or a missionary. And so people leaving, you know, the Marketplace and leaving businesses and leaving, you know, football careers and everything else to become a pastor or a missionary. That was it. And so he decided, well, I want to serve God. I want to stand before God on that day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So the two options is pastor or missionary. I want to be a missionary. What if he sends me to Outer Mongolia? So he says, I'll go forward and I'll be a pastor. And so he left his Marketplace, you know, became a pastor. And he said, you know, he wasn't a great pastor. He said he was kind of a decent pastor. But, you know, but the toll on him doing what he really wasn't kind of called or engineered to do ended up causing him to not only have a breakdown, but resulted in the breakdown of his marriage. And so he ended up in a wilderness for a season with a broken heart and a broken life. And then he just started a business, started a company because he had to pay the bills. And God just began to bless his business. And then in church, God began to heal him, and then brought beautiful Melissa, who had a similar experience herself. And now that, there's two blended families, and the blessing of God on them, and the blessing of God on their kids, and the blessing of God. And so he began to realize that God's blessing is not just, and God's anointing is not just on priests, it's not just on pastors, and it's not just on missionaries. God blesses teachers. God blesses innovators. God blesses leaders. God blesses judges. Samson was a judge, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he whooped on the Philistines, which I'll talk about in a minute. But you need to understand that God has an anointing for you. He has an anointing. A king is someone who goes into a territory and takes ground, dominates. Kingdom means king's dominion. He dominates. He has dominion. He exercises dominion over a region, over a territory. That's what the Bible says, that you and I are kings and priests. So we're called to minister, but we're also here to take ground. And I believe that the Spirit of God wants to come upon you. So in Exodus chapter 31, verse 2, Verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all matters of workmanship, or craftsmanship as the original Hebrew, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. This guy is anointed by the Spirit of God to do what? To be creative. To create. Can I just tell you, life is too short for you to live without the exponential. Life is too short for you to live without the exponential. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that God created man from the dust of the earth. You know, at funerals you hear, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. The human body breaks down perfectly and goes back into the ground, because it was out of the ground that we came. However, the verse doesn't finish there. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed the man, and then God breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man becomes a living being. You were created not just to function. You were created not to just be physical, but you were created to contain a spiritual component in your life. If you don't contain the Spirit of God, let me tell you, there are other spirits seeking to get into your world. There are demonic spirits and demonic forces seeking to get in, and these come as thieves. They come to rob your peace. They come to torment and vex your mind. They come to hijack your dreams. So instead of you dreaming great things, you are vexed with nightmares and torments. They come with fear. They come with phobia. They come with inhibitions. They come with ceilings. They come with lies. You weren't created for those things, but you were created for spiritual habitation. Therefore, the church is the answer, because you won't find this at any seminar. You won't find this at any of these wonderful conventions. You only find it in the house of God. Here we evict dark spirits. Here we cast out evil spirits. Here we break off the demonic bondages, and here we get you filled. Shambranda regadebese. We get you filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we teach you how to live a life where the anointing of God can come upon you, so that you can operate in the unique calling, the unique fashioning of God. I'm not sure if you realize this, but your fingerprints are unique to you. There are 7 billion people on the planet. When I look at my finger, are you kidding me? My tiny little finger. Are you telling me that there are more than 7 billion possible combinations to create a finger? There's not 2 or a dozen or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people with the same fingerprint. Well, how many different fingerprints can we fit into that tiny air? But do you know there is nobody else that has the same fingerprint as you? No one else has the same retina scan as you. You are an individual. Not only that, but the way that you were gifted, the way that you were wired, even when it talks about Lucifer, it says on the day of his creation, the pipes and the timbrels that were fashioned within him for his own own unique calling, yet he forsook all of that and wanted to rage against God, and he wanted to be God himself. But even there, we begin to see that God even engineers his angels with the unique giftings and unique functions and unique callings. The devil will rag on you your whole life, trying to tell you that when God made you, he made a mistake, he made you less than, that you ought to forget about whoever God made you to be, and you ought to be more like this person. You ought to pretend that you're somebody that you're not. And that people live with all kinds of insecurities, not realizing they're missing out on their true identity and their true calling. God made you you. There is not another copy of you. Do you know what that means? That means that you're a priceless work of art. If I bought a copy of the Mona Lisa, it's expensive because the Mona Lisa is one of the most, you know, magnificent art pieces on the planet. But if I bought a copy, it's cheaper. But if I bought the original, there's not even a price on the original because it's the original. You're an original. Don't die a carbon copy. Don't cheapen yourself by being a copy of somebody else or something else. But this is what the Holy Ghost does. Now listen, the Holy Ghost can't anoint a counterfeit you. If I got up here and began to preach like I'm a T.D. Jakes or what, if I'm trying to be in it, you're like, wow, every time he gets up, have you noticed like he's like, you know, faking T.D., you know, he's walking around, you know, whatever, you know. And I'm telling you, God can't anoint me because, like, I didn't anoint you to be a T.D. Jakes too. My anointing will flow towards who I created you to be. Listen to me, honestly. One of the most courageous things you can do, one of the most courageous things you can do in this life is be you. Wow. Great. The pressure that you're under. I was a youth pastor for 15 years, and God opened my eyes. I saw the battle. I saw the struggle, because we all long to be accepted. We all crave acceptance. And because there is a presence of evil in this world, you will find that again and again, you were attacked because you were different, because you didn't fit in. So you find in our teenage years, we spend our whole life trying to fit in, when God never created you to fit in. He created you to stand out. We spend our whole time going in the wrong direction, trying to fit in. So we lose this and we lose that, and we change the way we speak and we change the way we dress, and we hide this and we shun that, and we're afraid of this. And most people never recover. Most people live the rest of their life faking, you know, being a poor counterfeit image of somebody else, never really having the courage to be you. I've got to tell you, one of the things that Jesus did when I got saved, you need to understand, I was so messed up. I had so much rejection from my dad that when I got saved, I remember just the elation of the fact that God loved me. And I remember just having layers of masks, thinking, finally I can take all these masks off. Because when I was around the guys, I wore the mask that I was kind of cool and macho. And when I was around the girls, I was like suave. Whichever group I was with, I knew how to wear the mask. I didn't want to be rejected. I want to be accepted. So when I was with these guys, you know, I wore this mask, and that's how I spoke. But when I was with these people, I took that mask off, and I knew the mask. And if you said, man, what were you good at? I was good at mask shaping. I was the master of masks. And then the day I got saved, I thought, it's so exhausting. It's so exhausting trying to be something that someone will not reject, something that... I remember just the day I got saved thinking, God, you know, if you love me, if you accept me, then I don't care about anybody else because you accept me. I remember just the exhale and the removal of those masks. Let me tell you that one of the most courageous things you can do is be you. Be you. But here's the thing. You look in the mirror at you every day, and the problem is you don't see you. You don't actually see you when you look in the mirror. You don't find you just by looking in the mirror. In the mirror, you don't see you. All you see is a reflection of you. You see your reflection, but it's amazing how many people look into the mirror and, like Ben Stiller in Zoolander, who am I? When did you decide you wanted to be a male model, Derek?
That was probably the third time I went through the fourth grade. I saw my reflection in a spoon. I said, hey, you should do that for a living. Do what, Derek? You know, be really, really ridiculously good looking.
And so it's amazing how many people see their reflection every day in the mirror. But like Zoolander, you can look in the reflection and say, my God, who am I? The only day that you find who you really are, or the beginning of finding who you really are, is when you look into the face of God. Because the Bible says, God speaking, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Come with me on a journey. Okay? So in Genesis, the Bible says God creates the heavens and the earth. The earth is formless and void. Put your seatbelt on. Formless and void. Darkness covers the face of the deep. Watch this. And the Spirit of God was hovering in the dark over the face of the waters. Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Why? Because God is light. In him there is no darkness. So because he is light, why is he hovering over the waters? Why of all places is he hovering over the waters? Because the water reflects light. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, he created to reflect his image. And so he's hovering over the waters because the water is reflecting him. And God's like, ah, but now he's got ground. When God moves over the ground, no reflection, but he moves over the water, there's his reflection. So what does God do when he turns the light on? He decides not only the water is going to reflect me, but also the ground. So God goes into the ground and he fashions from the ground his image and his likeness, you. From the ground he made you. So whether he's over the ground or whether he's over the ground and the water reflect his image and his likeness. And then God breathes into man, and man becomes a living being. The devil has worked his darndest to separate you and I from the breath of God, to separate you and I from the identity of God, from separating you from discovering who you are in God. And he can destroy and he can wreak havoc in every generation, and he has been so successful. Can I tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ, C3 Church, South Campus, you know what we exist to do? We exist to introduce people to their Creator, to see God. And as you begin to see God, all of a sudden he begins to illuminate, he begins to bring out, he begins to give you courage, he begins to bring healing, and you'll find his breath, you'll find his breath breathing on you, awakening all of your gifts, all of your artisan, all of your artistic skills and your bents and your biases. And there are some people that love crunching numbers, there are other people that love innovation and invention, and some people that they love building things and they love working with their hands. Some people, they love fixing stuff. Other people, they're business people. They're good with money. Other people are bankers and accountants. Other people, they love art. Other people, they love music and sound. God wired you a certain way. Don't live your life, you know, just working a job that pays the bills. TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Do you know how many people live there? Why? Because they know they have to go to the mundane Monday to Friday. They put the Monday in mundane. Monday to Friday, just to pay the bills. Just to pay. Can I tell you, God wants you to do more than just pay the bills. He wants you to do more than just work for something. God wired you in this church. And the reason I'm speaking about this is because you will find the greatest joy you can ever walk in knowing that you are right smack in the middle of God's purposes and plans for your life. When you will become invincible. You will become unstoppable. I can sit on a plane. I sat on a plane once and the landing gear wouldn't come down, and we had to circle the airport you know, we had to go out to sea to dump all of the fuel. And I was sitting next to this intellectual who was from the Baha'i faith. And the Baha'i faith's only been around for a couple hundred years. And basically, they take a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of Buddhism, a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Confucianism, a little bit of Hare Krishnaism, a little bit of, you know, Islam, a little bit of, you know, they take from all the religions. They say, look, all roads lead to Rome. And, you know, your Christian thing, and you believe in a real devil. There's no real devil. And there's no real evil. And he's kind of lecturing me like this. And then all of a sudden, you know, all of his lecturing theory went out the window when the pilot came on. And I just wish God would not choose to use these wonderful sermon illustrations while I'm on the freaking plane. But anyway, I'm on the plane and the landing gear's not coming down. We hear this. And so it was obvious the thing wasn't opening. And so finally we had to go out to sea. And ladies and gentlemen, as your captain, you probably noticed we had to go back out to sea after circling the airport for 15 minutes. Our landing gear will not deploy. So we're going to have to dump all of our fuel, because when you land with steel on concrete, there are sparks. And if you've got a whole lot of fuel, the plane is no longer a plane. Is a bomb. And so they've got to get rid of all the fuel. And so this guy started, he's like, that's not good. Oh, this isn't good. This is good. And then the pilot says they're preparing the runway, and they put foam on the runway so we can land on the runway with the steel belly of the plane on the runway. And so I'm like, you know, he's panicking. This is not good, after lecturing me how I'm narrow-minded as a Christian. And so true story, this is a true story. And so I said, oh, God, you know, oh, what do I do? And God says, pray. So I said, Shambrata. And God said, no, out loud so he can hear. Oh, the panicking, condescending expert of religion. Pray so that he can hear. Now, honestly, if you would have asked Isaac Gardner to pray, he would have busted out a prayer. If you would have asked Christian would have busted out an awesome prayer. If you would have asked, probably any of you would have busted out an awesome prayer. I probably prayed the dumbest prayer I've ever prayed in my life. Like, I was embarrassed. Literally, the prayer that came out of my mouth, kind of like, God's like, well, I guess that's all I got to work with. It was like, honestly, of all the prayers to pray, Annika, you know what came out of my mouth? Out of my mouth came these words, Father, it's me. Like, honestly, I mean, like, yeah, that's why I'm letting it crash. You know, that's what I'm, you know, because you don't know how to pray. You know, that's why. And true story, I said, Father, it's me. I'm on this plane. True story. Father, it's me. I'm on this plane. Ladies and gentlemen, true story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the pilot. The landing gear has just deployed. We're making our final approach now, and you know, we landed safely. I said, I told you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the God's like, but you know what, when you are in the middle of the will of God, you are invincible. You are unstoppable, because God has still got purpose. God has still got unfinished destiny. The only time you're in danger in your life is when you've rejected the will of God, when you're outside of the will of God. Find God's will for your life. What is God's will for your life? His will is for you to be you. Once you find out who you is, you'll find that there are gifts, talents, and abilities on the inside of you. The second thing that God wants to do is he wants to anoint you. He wants to put his anointing on your life for you to dream, for you to visualize, for you to innovate, for you to create. Do you think that you know, Steve Jobs, who invented the iPhone, do you think that demonic spirits, do you think the devil is more creative than God? Man, when I read Genesis and God says, let the ocean bring forth living creatures, and the Bible says, and God created the whales and the orcas and the octopuses and dolphins and penguins, and like, it's like flipping mind-blowing. I mean, man, you know, people who are stoned can't come up with creative stuff like this. And no wonder they call God the Most High, like the giraffe. Like, if you've been to the, was my kids from when they were little, the zoo, they're like, wow, daddy, look. And look, the giraffe with its long neck, and horses and rhinos and, you know, hippos and elephants. And they're just like, wow, and little monkeys. And it's just freaking awesome. That's your God. But the devil sold us a lie, and the church is like, you know, anything creative is from the devil. That's from the devil. That's creative. That's from the devil. Oh, I got this color brochure. Color's from the devil. I'm playing a minor chord. Minor chords are from the devil. Oh, we got amplified music from the devil. We got drum beats in it. Drum beats are from the devil. Oh, we wrote lyrics to a song is from the devil. The song's just called I Want to Hold Your Hand. Listen, son, the devil's got hands. And he uses them for holding. And, you know, it's that's from a really naughty movie. I shouldn't have used that, actually. I'm so far off script, it's not funny. So I need to pray. If you were here in the 10, Rudy and Ju, have I said anything that I said in the 10? Probably not. I've gone nowhere near the 10. It's just for all you that came back. But literally, I want to pray for people. I felt the Holy Ghost say, pray for people. Pray for people. Isaac and Lily. George and Lily Valdez, would you stand up? Isaac's Lily's brother. Hold hands, guys. Stretch your hands out towards this great couple. Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for the faithfulness to my house. And I hear God saying that I am going to be faithful and I will be seen as faithful towards your house. And you've seen, it's almost like it's been some blockages or even some resistances. It's just the enemy trying, he's seen my faithfulness. He's seen my dispatchments and he's come against them. But the Lord would say he will not prevail. But I permitted this because the calling in front of you was greater than what was currently living as a reservoir within you. And so I allowed some minor delays. And delayal is not denial. Delayal is not denial. But I allowed some delays, some obstacles, so that you would push through, so that you would pray through, so that you would continue to believe, like Abraham, who at 60, I told, would have a baby. And for 40 years, he wrestled. But he didn't just wrestle, because when baby came, it wasn't about baby. It was about father of the faith. It was about a brand new legacy. It was about bringing a culture, a kingdom, something of heaven. The faith, the household of faith of heaven was now birthed into the earth through not just the coming of Isaac, but through the 40-year believing. That contrary to hope, in hope Abraham believed. He did not look at the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but counted God faithful who had promised. And God was able to bring in and usher in a brand new culture into the earth that allows the kingdom of God to travel. And in the same way, some of the denials and in the same way some of the delays that you've seen have not been to frustrate you. It's not been because God's hand is short, but it's been to develop in you what is in the future, what is in the next chapter. And I see fruitfulness, and I see ministry, and I see blessing and over your children, and I see the miraculous, and I see a supernatural flow, and I see a blessing in ministry, and I see a blessing in business. I see a blessing financially, but I also see a blessing spiritually. And I see you, my gosh, I see you, the dreams of the young man, the dreams of the young couple, George and Lily, I see them coming to pass. I see them coming to pass. Even as you age, every decade, the dream, till it comes to the point where the dreams are so overwhelming. It's like, man, I almost forgot that I dreamed that, or man, I thought I gave up on that dream, but here it is living in front of me. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now listen, I want to pray for you. I want to release a word over you. If you're called to the marketplace, let me tell you, you're not called to the marketplace to kind of fit in and, hey, excuse me, do you mind if I make money? Oh, sorry. You know, the Oliver Twist? Please, sir, can I have more? More? You know, no. Let me tell you, you're anointed to go into the marketplace to dominate the marketplace. You're anointed to go in there and seize those contracts. You're anointed to go in there and exchange those titles. You're anointed to go in there and close escrow. And you're anointed to go in there and dominate. If you're a marketplace person, stand up right now. Lift your hands high to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For Delia, thank you for a handsome husband. I thank you for the anointing on this great couple, the blessing of God released. Father, I thank you for every marketplace person. Isaac, you are anointed in the marketplace. You're scallywag, but you're shaped for ministry. You're being shaped in the marketplace, just like Joseph was shaped in the marketplace, just like Daniel. In fact, Daniel was being shaped by God, but he stood out in the marketplace. He stood out in Babylon, but because he had the kingdom spirit on him, he had the anointing upon him. And that's why God has brought you into, and everywhere you go, you're going to rise to the top. You're going to rise to the top. You're like a Daniel, and it's because you're standing out, but there's a kingdom anointing, kingdom influence, kingdom blessing all over your life. Father, I thank you. You see these ones standing. Father, and I speak increase. I speak enlargement of their territory. Oh man, I felt a wind on that word, enlargement of their territory. Enlargement of their territory. Begin to close your eyes and see your territory enlarging right now. See it enlarging right now. I hear the Holy Spirit releasing. Just catch it in your spirit. God always speaks spirit to spirit. You don't catch things in your head. You catch them in your gut. You catch them in your spirit. Father, an enlargement. The word enlargement. Let it catch your spirit and then come up to your eyes. Let your eyes, though closed, begin to see. Most people only see with their physical eyes and rarely see with their spiritual eyes. Dr. Yongyi Cho has the largest church in the world, almost 1 million members, says that one of the greatest keys is to go spiritual sightseeing. Spiritual sightseeing is what you see when your eyes are closed. Physical sightseeing is what you see when your eyes are open. Close your eyes. Let God put enlargement in your spirit. Now see, what does that look like? What does that look like, Jose? Is it a $2 million company? Is it a $10 million company? Is it a $100 million company? Let me tell you, as soon as you start getting to the place where it scares you and it exceeds your ability and it exceeds your hand able to hold it, now you're starting to reach into the God zone. Where God lives. God does not live on what you can do. God does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. The God zone is beyond your capacity, beyond your ability, beyond your strength, beyond your skill sets. Father, Lord, let people even now begin to see. Let them begin to see. Those who are called to ministry, would you stand up with these people? If you feel called, I'm not just called to the marketplace, but I'm called into the ministry. I'm called to be a minister of the gospel. Would you lift your hands high to Jesus? And also the creative. I just hear, I'm called to be in the creative. I'm called to be in the creative, in the arts and media, I hear. Stand up to your feet right now. Father, I thank you. Lord, let the anointing, let the power of the Most High rest upon these mighty people. Rest upon these mighty people. Holy Ghost. Just let the Holy Spirit rest on you. Let the Holy Spirit, the first time somebody prayed for me for the anointing, I got to tell you, I wasn't even sure what I needed to do or how I needed to receive, but something shifted. Something changed. I can look back at my life. The trajectory changed. Things begin to happen. Things begin to line up. I began to think thoughts I'd never thought before. I began to see things I'd never seen before. I began to conceive things in my mind I'd never conceived before. Conceptually, everything shifted, and I can put it back to that moment where someone prayed for me that I didn't understand what was happening. I didn't comprehend. I didn't even feel anything in the moment, but something shifted because I made myself available. Father, I thank you for Lukey Munns. I thank you for your hand on him, his beautiful bride, on his family. And I see increase. I do see right around the world, the seven seas. I see songs going across the seven seas. I see sounds going across the seven seas. Not only that, but I see the Spirit of God moves over those seas. I see Him drawing out. I see Him drawing out from the lands. People that were overlooked and people that were hidden. People that were hidden, like the leaven was hidden in the yeast, and then it rose. Overlooked, but you bring them out. You'll bring them out, and they will have a song. They'll have a sound. They will have captured something from heaven that needs to be produced on earth, and you will be one who will know how to take what was captured in heaven and reproduce the sound in heaven here on the earth, so that the earth might lean in towards heaven, so that the earth might hunger again for heaven, so that the hearts of men and women would have a thirsting for, would have a longing for, would have a yearning for heaven, that they would long for heaven, the Prince of Heaven, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Bless these beautiful people today. Let your anointing rest on these beautiful people today. Increase, enlargement, multiplication on these beautiful people. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Quickly grab a seat. There's one more thing I need to do before I hand back to Pastor Drew, and I am right now out of time. But listen, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, if you're here today and you've never surrendered to Christ, we want to pray for you. In fact, we need to pray for you. Don't leave the same way you came in. God's plan and purposes for your life are far too great for you to live estranged from Him or for you to live disconnected from Him. The greatest day of my life wasn't just the day I was born. The greatest day of my life was when I was born again. The greatest day of my life was when I finally came back and reconnected with God.
I was born again. It happened 32 years ago on a beach. Following Jesus Christ, there is nothing like it. If you're here today, you're away from God. The devil will use all kinds of sin, all kinds of stuff. But it's sin, you'll notice it's pleasure for a season. It's temporary, it never satisfies. Don't let the devil separate you from God. Don't let hurts or disappointments or lack of... If you're here today and you're not connected with God, if you're here today, you've never received Christ as Lord, while every head is bowed and every eye closed, just before I hand back to Pastor Drew, if that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make my peace with God. Thank you. Thank you. Who else is there? Would you raise your hand? Love to pray for you today. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there somebody else? I'd love to pray for you today. Is there anybody else? Quickly, I am out of time, but I want to pray. Is there just one more? Just one more. Just one more. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, can we say these words? Say today, say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, everyone in the building. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today that you made me totally unique. I'm not junk. I'm not an accident. I am your child. Unique, loved, accepted. Today I thank you that Jesus Christ hung on a cross to wash away all my sin, so that today I am also forgiven. Today I am redeemed. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. Today, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me to be all I was meant to be. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Standing over here is Rudy, the Mexican cutie. That's his official title in places like Tijuana, Guadalupe, Guadalajara, Mexico City. That's his official title. Those of you that raise your hand, would you see him? We want to give you a gift. We want to give you a Bible and a little book called Following Jesus. And some of our team would love to take a moment to just love on you and pray with you. But tonight, 5 p.m., we got the Welsh rock and roll star turned preacher, Pastor Ray Bevan, preaching at our 5 p.m. service. He is singing. He's tearing it up there now. So I want to invite you, come out again, brave the rain. It'll be worth it tonight. And we just love to see.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.